election, and I want to let the audience know that, as well as last night, tonight, you guys have done very well to attentively listen, and I'm sure Mr. Reeves as well as Brother Weatherly appreciate the kind attention, and I'm sure that it will continue. And we are going to, at this time, have Brother Weatherly come for his second affirmation of the evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a privilege to be before you again tonight for the final affirmative of the night. Give me my chart number 92. 92. Friends, at the first part of our affirmative speech, we took you to the basics, the fundamentals, the very foundation of the Bible, and Bruce could not even deal with the very basics of what the Bible teaches. What did Bruce have to say about any of the scholarship that we offered on this chart? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We pointed out that the word one is the Greek word heis. It is masculine singular. Bauer Gingrich Danker says it is a numerical one. It is a single only one. Thayer said, when it's used as a predicate, heis refers to one person. A.T. Robertson's word picture says that heis in the masculine singular refers to one person. Now, what did he say about this chart, friends? You know what he did? He went back into last night's affirmative. Bruce doesn't know which side of the fence he's on. He's in the negative tonight. He's to follow me. He thinks he's still stuck in the affirmative. Now, give me Bruce's chart number 14. Bruce brought up the word echad from Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Give me my chart number 48. Now, friends, we answered this last night that the word echad is found over 960 times. 900 of those times, it is a single numerical one, and he did not answer it last night. He's not going to answer it tonight. Go back to chart number 92. The fulfillment of this is in Mark chapter 12 with the Greek word heis, which is masculine singular. Mark 12 shows the context of Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the foundation of the Bible, the very first commandment, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one person. Give me my chart number 93. We offered you an exegete from another passage to let Scripture explain Scripture. Galatians 3 and 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one. Of one what? Of one person. Now notice the antithesis. But God is one. Whatever a mediator is not the mediator of, God is. The context alone proves it. A mediator is not the mediator of one person, but God is. Is one person. What did he have to say about this? Nothing. He has ignored the affirmative arguments. What did he have to say about Galatians 3:20 from the Amplified Bible? Yet God is only one person. You know how he answered it? He made the statement that Jason believes that the mediator is only human. Now, friends, those of you in attendance tonight that were here last night know that Bruce over and over and over again makes misrepresentations. That Jason says it's only human. He reminds me of my Baptist friends that teach only faith. We're saved by faith, but we're not saved by faith only. And Bruce seems to throw that word only into places it doesn't belong. Give me my chart number 55. Yes, friends, there is only one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 through 6 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom to be testified in due time. So on one side we have God, and on the other side we have humanity. On one side we have divine nature, on the other side we have human nature, and in between them we have the mediator. We have the man Christ Jesus, who is God manifest in flesh. Not only a human, divine nature manifest in flesh. Vine's Expository Dictionary says, the mediator himself should possess the nature and attributes toward the ones who he acts and the ones for whom he acts. We have a distinction of natures. We have God manifest in the flesh. Now, Bruce brought up some charts, his numbers 33, number 36, number 34, in which he presented the argument that in Old Testament, when God was saying, I am alone and I did it by myself, that he was contrasting these things with the idols. But you know, friends, Paul said that an idol is nothing. How can you contrast something with nothing? Give me Bruce's charts, number 147, 148. Again, Bruce thinks he's in the affirmative. Now, give me my chart number 118. And just like he did last night, he's been dancing all night long. He doesn't believe in dancing in the church, but he sure is cutting a rug around this Scripture. He has failed to examine the Scriptures in John 14, 16 through 17 that tells us who this Comforter is. The Comforter is the Spirit of truth. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He has denied, he has ignored this, he has danced all around it, and you can two-step all around it you want, but it's going to be there until the day Jesus comes. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus was the one dwelling with them, and he was going to be in them as the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Give me my chart number 96. You know what Bruce had to say about this chart? He said, you argue just like the Jehovah's Witness. No, friends, we don't. We believe that Jesus Christ is deity, and there is only one deity. That one deity is the Father. There is only one true God, and the Lord is that true God. The Lord is our Father. We only have one Father. One is your Father, and there is but one God, the Father. That's Scripture. Nothing but Scripture, and that's going to stand when the world's on fire. Chart number 97. What did Bruce have to say about 1 Timothy 3:16? That God was manifest in the flesh. He didn't call for the chart. He didn't ask for the chart. He didn't examine any of the charts we presented in our first affirmative speech. Chart number 98. We showed you that the Word was God made flesh. And Bruce said, John 1 and 1 was not my friend, but friends, Jesus, He is my friend. Notice in John 1 and 1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoever the Word was with, the Word was. The Word was God. There is only one true God, and that is the Father. Jesus Christ is the Father, manifest in flesh. Give me my chart number 99. Give me Bruce's chart number 272. Thank you. Now, Bruce did not answer the argument of who these pronouns he refer back to. He did not answer the argument, what is the antecedent of the pronouns he and him? And you know that he was manifest. He doesn't refer to a future antecedent. It refers back to the antecedent, the Father. He was manifest. He who? Who does he refer back to? It refers to the Father. Friends, he is stuck in last night. He thinks it's still Monday night. He thinks that he is still in the affirmative. Bruce, you're going to have to catch up to Tuesday night, because what's going to happen Thursday when we get over into Conway and we get on the baptism issue, you're going to be stuck in Tuesday night. All of us that are keeping track with it, we're going to be on Thursday night. We're going to be on the baptismal formula issue, and he's going to have to play catch up, and he's going to be stuck on Tuesday night. He still thinks he's going to be talking about the Godhead. His chart number 215. Now give me my chart number 102. Now Bruce says, does all the fullness refer to the completeness of the Godhead? He said, does it refer to the completeness of the Godhead? All of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? I give you the definition of what fullness means. It denotes the fullness of that which is full. God in the completeness of His being. All the completeness of His being dwells bodily in Jesus Christ. Give me Bruce's chart number 22. I believe it's chart number... Give me his chart number 24. That's the one right there. Now, he makes this comparison. He didn't actually say it, but it's on the chart. He tries to make this comparison between the father who is a father, Abraham who is a father, Paul who is a father, and then the son who is a father. But friends, where does the Bible say that Abraham is God manifest in the flesh? Where does the Bible say that Paul was manifest in the flesh? And he appeals to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, but he has no idea the context of what Hebrews 2:13 is talking about. Give me my chart number 109. Thank you. So Bruce appealed to Hebrews 2:10 through 13 to try to prove that Jesus is not God the Father. Bruce says that Jesus is a Father, but He's not God the Father. Friends, there's only one divine Father. Bruce did not even begin to deal with the context of Hebrews 2:10 through 13. He just mentioned the passage, and missing the passage does not explain the passage. Hebrews 2:10 through 13 says, "For it became Him," referring to God the Father, "in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the suffering. For He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again I will trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me." The context is that Christ and the believers are of one Father, and that Christ is not ashamed to call the believers His brethren. As proof of this, three Old Testament passages are quoted. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will put my trust in Him. And behold, I and the children which God gave me," which is a quote from Isaiah 8:17. So the "I" there, the origin of it is Isaiah and his children. But the Hebrew writer uses this passage in reference to Christ's brethren. Thus, children is synonymous with brethren. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says, "Christ, the antitypical prophet, similarly, instead of the human confidence of his age himself, and with him God the Father's children, who are therefore his children, so antitypical to Isaiah's children, though here regarded as his brethren." Even your own Church of Christ scholar, James Burton Kaufman, understands this. James Burton Kaufman said this quotation is from Isaiah 8:17, showing the Old Testament basis for Christ not being ashamed of his brethren. The messianic import from the quotation being that the Messiah shall not be glorified alone, but in conjunction with his spiritual children, synonymous with brethren. So what did Bruce gain by quoting this passage? The only thing he gained is to show that he does not understand the passage. His chart number 116, or his chart number 115. Now give me my chart number 116. Bruce mentioned a quibble about John 14, where Jesus said, "I am in Him and He is in me." Well, notice this, friends. In Him and in us. John 15, 4 through 15 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We abide in Him, He abides in us, and what does that equal? It equals one vine. 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know ye that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body and have been made to drink into one Spirit." We're in Him, He's in us by the Spirit. He poured the Spirit on us, He's poured the Spirit in us, and that puts us in the body. So that's one body. John 14, 9 through 10, Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you that thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" He's in the Father's in Him, and what does that equal? It equals one person. Give me Bruce's chart number 228. Now give me my chart number 126. Now, friends, it's no wonder that Bruce is trying to go back into last night. There were a lot of rebuttals that I made last night that Bruce did not and he cannot respond to. Every chart that Bruce presented in his first affirmative, I either called for it or I presented it on the screen. I presented 16 charts in rebuttal, and Bruce only called for two of them last night. Bruce only called for one chart tonight, and he didn't even get that chart right. So, friends, let's notice Bruce's blunders, and let's speak where Bruce speaks, and be silent where Bruce is silent. And let's notice a lot of things that Bruce never responded to. He never responded to the fact that he teaches that the Father possesses divine nature. He doesn't believe that the Father is deity. He believes it's something that the Father possesses. He never responded to Hebrews 5 and 7 that he prayed in the days of his flesh. He's never responded to Isaiah 44:24 by myself, or Psalm 33:6 that he created all things by his word and he spoke it into existence. He never responded last night to Philippians 2:6 that being is a present active participle and that the word form means external appearance. And we'll get into that more in just a minute. He never responded last night to Hebrews 10:5 that thou equals the Father, the me equals the body, the me equals the Word, the body equals the flesh, and John 1:14 confirms that the Word was made flesh. He never told us last night if the Father has a divine spirit separate and distinct from the Son who has a divine spirit, and whether or not that is two spirits. Ephesians 4:4 says there is only one spirit, and he has admitted tonight that the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Jesus Christ. He never responded to John 14:16 that the Comforter dwelt with them and would be in them. He never responded to John 16:13 out of himself. He never responded to the fact that Jesus prayed, suffered, and died in his flesh. And friends, he is trying to fix all this up tonight. But that's things he should have done last night. He's in the negative tonight, and he's to follow where I lead. Chart number 107. Jesus is the Father. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Friends, we showed you that Mighty God and Everlasting Father refers to things that are divine, not human. Everlasting Father is things that are divine. Give me a chart. Try chart 108. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Friends, this phrase, Mighty God, is also used in Isaiah 10:20-21 that says, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty God. Isaiah 10:20 calls the Lord the Mighty God. Isaiah 64:8 says, the Lord, thou art our Father. Jesus is Jehovah, God the Father, manifest in flesh. Chart number 111. Now, friends, Bruce spent his time answering arguments that he should have answered last night. He had plenty enough time to look at these arguments that I've made. And I suppose he's going to pull a Gene Cook on me, and he's going to refer to these things when I don't have a time to respond. Chart number 111. I and my Father are one. What did he say about this? What did he say about the word one being hen? A numerical one. One baptism. You members of the Church of Christ know that you teach the word one in the phrase one baptism is a numerical one. What did he say about the statement of identity? Thou being a man makest thyself God. Those Jews understood when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, that he was identifying himself with the Father. Chart number 113. What's my time? Thank you. Philip saith, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Friends, did he mean what he said, and did he say what he meant? When Philip saw Jesus, how many persons did he see? He only saw one. And Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. The only way for this to be possible is that the one whom Philip saw to be the Father, Jesus is the Father. Chart number 119. We showed you synonymous phrases from 1 Peter 1 and 2 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1, Peter said it was the Spirit of Christ that did it. 2 Peter 1, he said it was the Holy Ghost that did it. Bruce has already admitted that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Thus, he admits that Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Chart number 120. We showed you from Acts chapter 6, or Acts chapter 16, verse 6, that it was the Holy Spirit that forbid them to speak. Verse 7 says it was the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's only one Spirit. What did he have to say about this? You know, he answered the question that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Did he call for the chart? No. Bruce spent all of his time trying to fix up those blunders from last night. Chart number 121. We showed you from the book of Matthew that the Spirit of God descended. Luke said it was the Holy Ghost that descended. We showed you from the book of Matthew that Jesus said it'd be the Spirit of your Father that would speak. Mark said it would be the Holy Spirit that would speak. Luke said it would be Jesus that would speak, because the Spirit of the Father is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now friends, what did he say? He did not regard any of these arguments that I made. He tried to patch up the poor, pitiful job that he did last night. Chart number 122. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father. That which was conceived in Mary was out of the Holy Ghost. What did he have to say about this? Nothing, friends. Silent as a tomb. Speak where Bruce speaks and be silent where Bruce is silent. What did he have to say about our analogy? That which was conceived in Rachel was out of Bruce. And friends, you know that makes Bruce the father of that which was conceived in Rachel. And if that which was conceived in Rachel is out of Bruce, doesn't make Bruce the father, then Lucy has some splaining to do. Chart number 124. My chart number 124. I apologize. I didn't know that the reference was unclean. Thank you. I believe the illustration is... Before you start my time, I will say I have met Rachel. She's a very, very nice and considerate woman, and I meant no offense to anyone. Bruce is definitely blessed that he got her. All right, give me Bruce's chart number 268. What's my time? 7 minutes. Give me my chart number 73. Now again, Bruce is going back to arguments that he made last night, and he's trying to patch these things up. But friends, we answered that last night, chart number 73, of which he never called for last night. I presented this in my first negative speech. He had time in his second affirmative to bring it up, and he did not bring it up. He's wasting all of his time tonight in Monday night. So Bruce, you need to catch on up. All the rest of the class is on Tuesday night, but you're still stuck on Monday night. Give me Bruce's chart number 185. Now give me my chart number 27. Now he said on 125 or 185 this Greek word isos, and he went back to the reference that I made in Acts chapter 11 when Peter said, "Then I remembered the words of our Lord that John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so what was I that got to, what was I to anyway, he said that he poured out the like gift upon those on the day of Pentecost and those in the household of Cornelius. Friends, it was the like gift. It's not talking about persons. It's talking about the same thing poured out on Pentecost that was poured out in the book of Acts chapter 10 on the household of Cornelius. And I believe these brethren agree that the household of Cornelius was baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's the same gift. Now, man, he brought up chart number 27, and he brought up the quote that I had of Mr. Asher, and I didn't know Mr. Asher was here last night. That's just, you know, great for our part. Now, he said that he tried to give us Mr. Asher's conclusion. You know what? My conclusion and Mr. Asher's conclusion of the passage may not be the same, but it does not take away from the fact that even Jeff Asher said the present tense verb being does not and cannot mean eternal existence. He has harped on Philippians 2 and 6, but he has failed to mention the scriptures we brought up. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. Bruce never told us, does that mean he eternally existed in torments? That is Calvinism, friends. And if you're going to plant those tulips, Bruce, you better do it in February. He never referred to the word form, morphe, meaning eternal appearance. He never referred to the scholarship that I have here that the word equal is neuter plural, equality in attributes, not persons. That's Bishop Lightfoot's words, not my words. In Philippians 2 and 6, equal to God, plural, isa, attributes of God. And that's A.T. Robinson's word pictures of the New Testament. My chart number 60. Friends, this is what it all comes down to. Did deity pray suffering God? Bruce Reeves affirms that deity prayed. When deity prays, it undeifies itself. We understand that Jesus is both deity and human. However, it was not the divine nature that prayed. It was the humanity that prayed. It was the humanity that prayed. Hebrews 5 and 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers. Psalm 65 and 2, O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. It was humanity that suffered. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also suffered for us to put to death in the flesh. 1 Peter 4 and 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. It was humanity that died. Now friends, it wasn't only a human that hung on that cross, but it wasn't deity. It wasn't the divine nature that died. It was humanity. When the Bible says he gave up the ghost, that's not talking about the Holy Ghost departed from his body. That's talking about the Spirit of life that made him a living soul. And that's plain from the context. He died in his humanity. Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death. Acts 2:31, we spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Friends, that is the third time this chart has been up in these debates. He had plenty of time last night to deal with it. Bruce needs to get out of Monday night and get back over into Tuesday night. He failed to mention the great majority of charts that I brought up. He did not touch any of the affirmative arguments that we made in this debate. And I believe that you see that tonight. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your attention.